Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Wednesday hump day. You know what that means. We get a chance to visit with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, who joins us. And as predicted, we had a city election, municipal election here in the city of Las Vegas. Am I right on this? Was this a typo? Or did I see that only 8% showed up?
I think it was 8.8, so we'll use a rounding error and go up to a whole whopping 9%.
Why don't people take this stuff seriously?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. I don't bemoan the low turnout like most people do. I think that in elections like this, people just don't pay attention to the local races as much as they do the high-profile races. The media generally ignores most of those races, except for a few, you know, high-profile ones that gather attention, like the Ward 3 race that had Reuben Kiewen in it. And the other problem, I think, Kevin, that nobody talks about is the fact that these races are considered, quote, nonpartisan, which means that the candidate's name appears on the ballot, but not their party affiliation. And people who are already not paying all that close attention a lot of times take a shortcut in the voting booth. They know that they generally support either the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. So when they go into the voting booth, they look for the R or the D, and that's who they cast their ballot for. But in these municipal elections, you have absolutely no idea what party affiliation they are. So people would rather not take the chance of voting for the wrong person and simply choose not to vote at all rather than make a mistake in the voting booth.
By the way, regardless of your political affiliation, most of you who did vote among the 8%, 83% of you voted for Carolyn Goodman. I guess she's done a good job?
Yeah, I think so. I had some folks reach out to me and ask for their support running against Mayor Goodman, and my question was always, tell me, what has she done that's been so bad? I mean, what are the problems with her stewardship of the city of Las Vegas? And none of them could really give a compelling answer to, you know, the question of whether or not she's done a bad job. And I think the vast majority of people in the city of Las Vegas think that she's generally done a pretty good job in running the city. Not that there aren't still problems. There are problems in every city in the country, even in rural counties. So I just think that overall she's done a good job, and people recognize that, and they gave her a third term.
Any surprises in any of these races that you saw?
I think the, the, the big surprise was that Ward 3 race where former Congressman Reuben Kiewan, who was forced out of Congress over a bunch of sexual harassment charges, only missed going into the general election by 5 votes. Not 5%, 5 votes. And in an election with less than 9% turnout, that's darn near criminal for someone who's, you know, been in that community for a long time, served, I think, 10 or 12 years in the legislature, was a member of Congress, had plenty of money. To end up losing by 5 votes has got to be extremely embarrassing.
Yeah, 28.25% for Melissa Clary, 28.09% for Reuben Kiewan, and that means that Clary goes forward into the general election. And Reuben Kiewan is done, at least for a while. Does he have a political future?
Yeah, people wrote him off and said he didn't have a political future after he left Congress and couldn't believe that he would even dare to put his name on a ballot again so close to that scandal. But I think, there's an old saying in politics, Kevin, I'm sure you've heard it, that once politics gets in your blood, the only way to get it out is with embalming fluid. So I suspect that Reuben Kiewan has got that in his bloodstream, and by losing by only 5 votes, really, you wouldn't think that it would even have been that close. I suspect he'll probably put his name on the ballot and run again in the future.
Any idea for what post?
No idea whatsoever. I mean, these folks have a tendency to just look around the electoral map. They look at what offices are going to be up and which office they think they have the best chance of winning. Not that they have any particular desire to serve in that particular office. They just want to be in office. They like being the center of attention. So he'll just look at where he thinks he has the best opportunity to win a seat, and he'll throw his hat in the ring. For all I know, it could be a school board race next.
By the way, with the special election coming up June 11th, along with the general election, you came up with a surprising to many people pick in that Ward 2 race, and that's Victoria Seaman. Now, you and Victoria, am I right? You guys have been at odds for quite a while. Am I right?
Yeah, dating back to the 2015 session, we were allies when she was in the legislature, and then we had a falling out over an issue, and it got pretty nasty and pretty bitter between the two of us. But we've since patched things up. In politics, there's no permanent friends and no permanent enemies. And when I looked at the field, you got to give this woman credit. She threw her hat in the ring when they were trying to recall City Councilman Steve Soroka earlier this year, and she was going to challenge him in a recall election to take his seat. She did a lot of the hard work, the grunt work, and then Steve Soroka took that issue off the table by resigning. So now you've got a special election in June to fill his vacated seat, and she's already been there. And then at the last minute, another former assemblywoman, Valerie Weber, decided that she was going to run for this city council seat now that all the hard work was done. And I just think that's insulting, especially when Valerie Weber ran for the state senate last fall, lost an absolutely winnable seat, and Victoria, with her PAC that she created, the Conservative Women's PAC, supported Valerie in that race and gave her a lot of money, and then to turn around and I just think it was kind of a slap in the face to then turn around and throw her hat in the ring to challenge her for this seat that Victoria had already done so much work for. So I think Victoria is the best person for that race. I think she will do a good job. She's going to work hard for her constituents, and I think she's the best one.
So you're saying that should Valerie Weber get out of the race?
She should have never gotten in. I think the deadline to get out is today, but I don't think she's going to get out of the race. I mean, she's in it, and it just means we're going to have a... And here's the worst part, because there are two Republicans, and we've never had a... In my memory, we've never had a city council or county commission with a majority of Republicans on it, and this is an opportunity to pick up a seat that's currently held or was currently held by a Democrat and add another Republican to the Las Vegas City Council. But with Valerie throwing her hat in that ring, you know, she could very well split the Republican vote and hand that seat to a Democrat. Again, they technically call these nonpartisan races, but those of us in the business know there's no such thing as a nonpartisan race. And Valerie is jeopardizing an excellent opportunity to put a Republican on the Las Vegas, another Republican on the Las Vegas City Council. I think it's a shame.
Coming up, more on the 80th Nevada Legislature. We are into week nine. What is on the radar of Chuck Muth? We're going to find out coming up next. I'm Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm the sun, and I'm confused. On most days, you're all, oh, I love the sun. It's the best. But when you're driving, you're like, wah, the sun's in my eyes. What do you want from me? I shine when I shine. Like right now, you're driving around a curve in the highway. I hit you square in the face and you don't see the car in front of you stop short. And if you've got cut-rate insurance, well, that's not too bright. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Are you in good hands?
Call Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance. Sam holds Allstate's premier agency designation. Let Sam Peters make sure you have the insurance protection you need at a price you can afford. To get a quote today, call Sam at 702-870-4000. That's 870-4000. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
It's time to put the fun back in political fundraising. That's why Active Republican Women of Las Vegas is hosting its 2019 Fashion Show and Luncheon, Sunday afternoon, April 14th from 1 till 4 at Spanish Trails Country Club, featuring 21st century retro design by Bunker Bradley Couture. Tickets are just $45. VIP sponsored tables are available for $500. To purchase your tickets to this mega fun event, go to ARWLV.com. That's ARWLV.com.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association, we are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, President-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas. Enjoy food station pairings, check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, with a special appearance by cast members from the hit TV show, Counting Cars. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Proceeds stay here in Southern Nevada to continue the amazing work Rotary does in our local community. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com, and I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I love Wednesdays. Simply put, I love it that we get a chance to visit with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. You read his Muth's Truths. By the way, any other surprises from your Muth's Truths of late last week relative to some of your picks?
No, like I say, I don't live in any of the cities who had elections, so I didn't pay as close attention to all of those races. I supported Carolyn Goodman because I think she's done a pretty good job with Las Vegas. Reuben Kiewen, I did support Reuben Kiewen because I just thought that if he won and went in, it would just be a blast for Republicans to be able to wrap him around the necks of every other Democrat running on the ballot in 2020. But alas, he fell 5 votes short, so we won't have Reuben to pick on anymore, unless he runs again in 2020, which would be fun. And then, of course, Victoria Seaman in the special election. And we'll just have to see what how the general election shakes out in June. I think if you thought 9% or 8.8% was low turnout yesterday, what do you see what happens on June the 11th? Because I suspect it's going to be a lot lower because there won't even be a mayor's race on the ballot because Carolyn Goodman won yesterday outright.
Wow. Okay, we're into week nine. We're smack dab in the middle of week nine of the 80th Nevada legislature. What is on your radar right now? I know a number of bills are coming up for hearings. We've had a couple of hearings just in the last couple of days. What's on your radar right now?
Well, kind of everything and nothing, because the fact is that these Democrats are passing and putting forward all manner of liberal extreme legislation, but because of Republican ineptitude last year, they're in the minority in the state Senate, they're in the super minority in the Assembly, and they lost the governor's office. So there isn't a darn thing that Republicans can do to stop this. What I'm looking at, Kevin, and I'll have a column on this later on today, at the very least, Republicans should be making hay out of this extreme legislative agenda. I mean, it's pro-felon, it's anti-business. It's just amazing what they're putting forward up here. And Republicans aren't even making a stink about it in the media. They are so inept at communication. They should be at least creating issues for Republican candidates to run on next year in 2020, and they're not even able to do that. I mean, some of the communications, especially coming out of the Assembly Republican caucus, are just embarrassing. I mean, when you read their tweets and their Facebook posts, you can't even understand what the hell it is they're trying to say. So, as much as I thought that they were going to be irrelevant and they couldn't be any worse, it's actually worse.
Do you want to name names? I mean, the leadership is obvious. The leadership, at least as far as the Republicans are concerned. You want to name names?
Oh, absolutely. You know me. I mean, the fault lies at the feet of Assembly Minority Leader Jim Wheeler. It's bad enough that he engineered a Custer-like massacre at the ballot box last year. I mean, he lost two incumbent Republicans and failed to pick up the only district in the state where they had a Democrat incumbent and a Republican majority, and he couldn't even pick up that seat. That's why they're in the super minority, and yet somehow in politics you are able to fail upwards, and the caucus members, who I think now meet in a Toyota Prius for their caucus meetings, there's so few of them, they put this guy in charge of this legislative session. And he has absolutely no idea, he has no political skills, and his communication skills are even worse. And it's just an embarrassment that they put this guy in charge, and they're going to pay a price for it. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to get back even into a minority position rather than the super minority position that they're in this year if Jim Wheeler continues to be their leader.
What about on the Senate side?
On the Senate side, their leadership is pretty strong. I mean, it was the best person they could have possibly picked, James Settlemyer, to be the Senate Minority Leader. He's just a solid guy and a solid conservative. But, you know, his hands are tied because, unfortunately, within his caucus, he's got so many moderate Republicans that if the Democrats need a Republican vote to get to the supermajority to pass a tax increase, unfortunately, they'll be able to pick up one, two, maybe three or four Republicans to vote with the Democrats for tax hikes. And there just isn't anything that Leader Settlemyer is going to be able to do about it. That's just the nature of the Republicans that have been elected that are in his caucus.
Now we find out that there is talk of making the Nevada legislature an annual event. Like, can they get into more trouble the longer they're in session? What do you make of this idea of going away from having legislative sessions every other year, which I always view as a major victory because that means they can't do bad legislation every year? What do you make of this? And you know, one part of me is kind of ambivalent, kind of, well, whatever. But then when you start thinking about it, it's going to get more expensive, and these guys are going to be able to pass more bad laws.
Yeah, and the voters years ago passed a constitutional amendment that limits the legislature to only 120 days every other year. So I think the Nevada citizens and voters get exactly what you're saying, Kevin, that no good can come from these people meeting more often and meeting every year. It just gives them more of an opportunity to do more bad stuff. And the argument that, you know, Nevada's growing, and therefore, you know, it's required that we do annual sessions. Look, I don't care if Nevada's growing. It is nowhere near the size of Texas, for crying out loud. And Texas's legislature only meets every other year. So until Texas finds it necessary to have annual sessions, I don't think Nevada should even remotely consider it. But the Democrats have control, and they'll probably get this on to have annual sessions. And I just hope that the people of Nevada strike it down again and keep it from happening because, again, no good can come of having these folks in session every year.
And what would be required to change the Constitution, just so everybody knows?
It would have to pass if they get it on the ballot in 2020. They would have to pass it in 2020, and because it would be a constitutional amendment, it would have to pass a second time in 2022 for the Constitution to be amended and create annual sessions.
You think the population is smart enough to see through this?
I hope so. I mean, you know, 10 years ago I would have said this didn't have a prayer, but geez, Kevin, you know, again, I think there's a bigger problem on our border with California than on the border with Mexico. We need to build a wall and keep all these Californians from moving here and changing Nevada the way they have. And I've seen some of this extreme California-type legislation work its way into Nevada, which I never would have thought would happen here, but it has. So I'm concerned. If they put this on the ballot, it could well be that some of these Californians who have fled California and come here, you know, not as refugees but as missionaries, could very well say, yeah, let's do like we had in California. Let's have annual sessions, and it could be a disaster for us.
Chuck, if folks want to find you, if they want to find your writings, where do they go?
They can find me online by going to NevadaNewsAndViews.com and sign up for my Moose Truth email newsletter, or next week they can find me on a Carnival cruise ship touring the Mexican Riviera, so I won't be able to be with you next Wednesday.
God bless you, man. I love that. Well, then we'll take you off the schedule for next Wednesday. Thanks, man. As always, have fun and safe travels.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Chuck Muth, he'll be at sea. Hey, next Wednesday is an at sea day. Stick around, more to do live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today, even right now. Check it out. 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. We are into week 9 of the Nevada legislature. We're going to be talking about that. I will also tell you, we're going to be talking about an election we had last night where only 8% of you showed up. Municipal elections, city of Las Vegas, 8.9% of you showed up, which is embarrassing. And it means that less than 10% of our population is dictating who's going to lead us. Joining us now from the Clark County Republican Party, the treasurer for said group, Pat Casal, also with the MultiCare Group. You hear him on this radio station all the time, and he joins us. Good morning, Pat.
How are you, my friend?
I am good. A little perplexed as to why only 8.9% showed up to vote in a municipal election when these people are going to be making decisions for all of us.
You know, it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, and you know, it goes back to what you the recent talk now that the Congress and their 6 senators that are Democratic want to take away our rights as voters to do away with the Electoral College. I mean, if we don't start stepping up our game and fighting for our rights, we're going to lose them. We're giving them away.
You saw who was on the ballot. You saw what offices were on the ballot. You have any reason why only 8% showed up?
You know, it's interesting. I know a lot of people bitch and moan about these the commercials, maybe because there was a lack of commercials. Maybe there was a lack of press involvement. I don't know the answer. Or it's basically what it comes down to is maybe people just aren't as engaged as they should be. I will tell you that the only commercial that I actually saw was from Mayor Goodman, and I thought her commercial was done with class and exuberance. And to tell you the truth, if everybody who ran for office ran a commercial ad like that, I guess it would be more positive. But that's the bottom line. I don't think you saw a lot of people engaged. There wasn't a whole lot of flyers going out or whatever. And so people just weren't as interested as they should be in their responsibility. They were definitely waning on their responsibility.
I am curious what you thought, though. Carolyn Goodman got 83% of the vote. Has she done that good a job?
Well, let's put it this way. I don't think she's done a bad job. I thought her commercial was well done. But what did she do to get blown out? And the people that ran against her, what was their credibility? If you look at her opponents, what did the opponents offer that made a difference?
But Carolyn Goodman, in her commercial and in her speeches and her public statements, has given us the impression that everything's rosy. Don't worry about that homelessness. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about public safety. And that everything is rosy in the city of Las Vegas. When I talk to people, not just politicians, but folks who do fear for their safety.
Okay, so let's take it from there. Everything you're saying, I don't disagree with. Okay, it's not rosy. It's not peachy. But did you see anybody else campaign against her openly? Did you see any advertisements? Did you see any flyers?
Not much.
I mean, the biggest problem we have is that people want to run for office. They put their name on a ticket, costs $100 or whatever it might cost, and what do? Nothing. I mean, to be honest with you, that's really the message. I mean, we have candidates running for offices that are either financially not eligible to participate, but just fill out an application. They have a pulse, and that's it. Or their credibility isn't there. I mean, to be honest with you, you had one individual, and I'm not going to mention names, who's got credibility issues, major. And, you know, the vote count, I think he got like 700 votes or 600 votes. God bless him, but that he got crushed. And maybe he'll realize that he should do more things behind the scenes versus running for office. I mean, Chairman McDonald right now is working on a bunch of things. I mean, the president's coming in again this weekend for the Jewish Federation Coalition. And he actually tried to pull a deal to get the president to go to the Lincoln Day to show up and surprise people. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen because in a week's time they couldn't do it. But what he is doing right now, he's offering people the opportunity to go see the president. He's got a handful of tickets that he's going to, on a first-come, first-served basis, to give away, to get people engaged, to get them fired up, to go to see the president. These are $1,500 tickets. I mean, so this is a positive. But what we have to do as a party is we have to start getting people engaged. And I tell you what, if you read a lot of these Facebook posts and whatnot, we're eating our own. The Democrats are setting the table for us, Kevin. And what are we doing? Nothing. We're not fighting back the right way. I mean, an 8% showing. You have to remember that 8% represents both sides.
Yeah. Again, Pat Casale joining us, Clark County Republican Party treasurer. I want to go back to something you said, though, that we have candidates who were running for high office who had legal problems in their recent past, all kinds of stuff, people that had no money. Does the local party, the Clark County Republican Party, the state party, do we need to do a better job of vetting these candidates?
That's a great question. But because of the people's rights to run if they choose to, we can't make or break a person for running for office. The biggest problem we have is we could probably counsel some of these people. The problem is, will they listen? I mean, you know, again, if you look at some of the candidates we've run, north and south, east and west of the state of Nevada, and you listen to them put together a speech, and you find out their background, you find out what kind of economical position they're in, you got to ask yourself a question. What the hell are you doing? Why are you running for office? You know, I mean, again, this Federation thing this weekend is a $1,500 ticket. How many Republicans can afford to go? The Lincoln Day dinner is going on this weekend. Those tickets are available. How many people aren't going to that? How engaged are we as a community, you know, as a party? Now, not just Republicans, but the Democrats seem to have better candidates and they have a more unified message. But let's be honest here. As a party, we can't dictate policy. I know the state chairman is putting together programs how to educate and teach people when they're running what they need, how to run, or what they need, what platform to run on, and their responsibilities. But if people aren't willing to knock on doors, and if people aren't willing to put in the money and the effort, then what do you do? I mean, again, you got a lot of candidates. I mean, some of the candidates that ran last time, they got beat, that you could blame on 2016, you know, coming out against the president. Dean Heller might have just shot himself in the foot. And, you know, we cut off our nose to spite our face. And again, I say we cut off our nose to spite our face because we can't bitch and moan that we have a Democrat in office in place of Dean Heller. But if you really look at the numbers, I mean, even Mark Amadei's numbers dwindled. He won, but he didn't win like he normally wins. I mean, we have got to get out there and we have to engage and we have to decide what we want. Do we want to get rid of the Electoral College? Do we want higher taxes? Do we want to tell what to eat, how to eat? Do you want to eat steak or no? Do you want to be able to fly a plane or drive a car? I mean, if you listen to the messaging that's coming from the progressives, and now they're eating Joe Biden, it's scary.
Yeah, that's getting ugly. We've got four more women, I guess, that have come out. I made the prediction they're going to be lining up around the block simply because of the time. Is Joe Biden going to run, by the way?
I believe over the course of he just said today, I heard that he gave confidence that he will continue to run because he's trying to get his donors base to donate a lot of money. But either he's going to get to keep the money if he doesn't run, or he's going to back out. I wouldn't be surprised if this continues to go on another week or two that he decides, you know what, it's not worth it. I mean, I'm 77 years old. Why do I need this crap? But I mean, it's like Bernie's doing to him what Hillary did to Bernie. And frankly, I think the Democrats are scared to death because I don't think they want a Democrat. They want a Democrat, not a socialist. But when you look at the agenda that they're running on, the progressive agenda they're running on, Republicans can actually roll up their sleeves and win big. And I tell you this, the Midwest, the states that have been borderline, that have been purple, are going to end up going fully red because I don't think the average American wants to go socialist, and I don't think they want to lose their ability to vote. I mean, think about this Electoral College deal. I mean, can you imagine? We won't matter in Nevada. Our six electoral votes won't matter if California and New York dictate policy with a popular vote.
Well, and the only reason that candidates will come to Nevada is with their handout seeking money, seeking donations.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And that's a, And you know what? And that's, I don't know if you're going to this event Saturday with the president, but it's a big deal. I mean, you know, we had a. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're out there listening and you have an opportunity, you should take advantage of what Chairman McDonald's trying to do. This is a big deal. I mean, he pulled some strings to get several free tickets.
You know, so tell me how that's working. Tell me how that's working.
All right. What he did is he was able to secure a limited amount of free tickets to attend the Trump address at the RJC on Saturday morning. Tickets will be awarded on a first come first served basis, and you got to get it going on. He helps. You know, this is a big deal. I mean, President Trump's coming back here, and obviously he gives a darn about Nevada, and he wants Nevada to go red. And I think right now the time is right. I mean, if you look at what's going on up in Carson City and what they're trying to do, I mean, this is a big deal. So we have an opportunity to get a free ticket. And I had the opportunity, if I wanted to be in the motorcade. My wife's been in the hospital with the flu and pneumonia, so she's coming home today. But I couldn't commit to that that drive. But you know, what an honor. But I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, this is what's going on. I mean, we have a chairman who has access to the president, speaks to him. He's very good friends with him, and he's trying to help. And he wants to get Nevada to go red. The problem is, we have to get out of our own way. Too many of us are. We want to do it our way, but we're not doing it the right way. I think we need to unify with the state, the RNC on a national level, and figure out what it's going to take to win. And when you talk about an 8% turnout to vote, what percentage of that was Republican?
Yeah.
And that's really the real number. That number might have been a whole lot lower when you consider the outcome. I mean, when you talk about it, you want to talk about a landslide. She got 83%.
22,000 votes. 22,000 votes.
That's unbelievable. But the thing that's amazing with the amount of votes she received, she shouldn't have been able to have a walkover where she's already going to be mayor. There's not even going to be a general election. And then when you look at the other races, I think there's only one or two that are going to actually have a runoff. Again, I think it's a bad showing on many levels. And it goes to show you, are Republicans really engaged? Are Republicans really in the know? How many Megan Barrs are there out there who really have their fingers on the pulse, who give a damn? How many people are willing to sweat to make a difference? We don't have a lot of that out there. And we have a lot of people out there that talk a good game. But what have they done? How are they engaging in the various communities? And you know, why weren't we talking to these various communities? Hey, listen, we need you to get out there and vote. This is a big deal. This is the first step. Let's vote now in this election and show the world that we matter. Let's generate. Well, why couldn't 8% of the show? Why couldn't 16% show up and 8% of them be Republicans? 50% of the people that showed up be Republicans instead of, you know, 20%. That's a big deal. I mean, we're in a real serious issue situation here. And again, it starts now. We have to start planning for 2020. We have to support the president 100% because water trickles down. If President Trump can win the state of Nevada in 20, all of our other local offices, all our assembly offices, and those offices that are coming up in 20 have a shot to win. Obviously, Heller's old spot's not due for 24, and in 22, Mastos comes up. But we have other seats we can win. We can try to take back Carson City. I mean, what they're trying to do with Carson City is a joke. I mean, man, they're talking about making us a sanctuary state. Now, 15 counties for sure won't support the governor.
The sheriff's
won't. But what's Washington going to do? Yeah. And what's Clark going to do? I mean, Lombardo, if anything, Lombardo should wake up. We don't want another October shooting here in Nevada. I mean, there's a lot to consider. We don't know what's going on. And this lack of urgency with the crisis at the border. I mean, we're not hearing this from the president. We're hearing it from people that were appointed by Barack Obama. That's the scary part. And speaking of Barack Obama, where is he in defense of his old friend Joe Biden? That's the problem. I mean, right now, that we as Republicans have an opportunity to step up and make a difference. The Democrats are giving us every opportunity on a silver platter. They're showing the world their hand. The question is, will the Republicans fight and say no? Enough is enough. And I think the fact that they went against Trump over the health care deal, I mean, this is a true issue on our own level. That it's for the last 10 years, 9 years, what are we doing as Republicans? Yeah. We can't even come up with an alternative plan. And really, it can be done.
Hey, Pat, we're running short on time. Do you have any of the particulars about how folks can score some of those tickets to see the president speak?
I just sent you the email from Chairman McDonald. And this is big. He goes, he's thrilled about having him there. There is, maybe people can get this website. If they have to reserve the tickets today, it's not too late. I can email this to you. I emailed it to you. If people call in, or they can call me, and I'll send them the email for them to generate some interest. Again, it's a first come, first served basis. And these tickets are worth $1,500.
Wow. I am thrilled to welcome President Donald J. Trump back to Nevada this weekend for the Republican Jewish Coalition's convention. It shows the true commitment the president has to win in Nevada in 2020. Since President Trump announced his trip, I have been working day and night with the White House and the president's team to get him to the Clark County Republican Party Lincoln Day dinner. Unfortunately, because this trip has come together over the last week, there just wasn't enough time to make it happen. I have secured a limited amount of free tickets to attend President Trump's address at the RJC on Saturday morning. Tickets will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis, so be sure to reserve your tickets with the link. So there is a link, and I'm sure we'll take you to the Nevada Republican Party. Pat, it is always good to visit with you. Thank you so much, my friend. I got to run, but I thank you very much for calling.
You got it, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
It's Pat Casal joining us. I need to take a break. I'm running way late. Yeah. I'm like way late. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. EscapeAdventures.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. It always feels like a cliche when people say, call your lawmaker. I know most of us roll our eyes and move on with our daily lives. The truth is, however, it really does make a difference. When a lawmaker receives even just a handful of phone calls, it feels like the world is coming down on them, and they notice. So pick up a phone, because your voice is really needed right now. SB 351 is a bill to save Opportunity Scholarships, a school choice program that is currently helping thousands of low-income kids find a better education. And unless lawmakers hear from parents who support this program right now, this bill is going to die. And if it dies, thousands of low-income kids will have their scholarships ripped away overnight. So it might sound cliched, but it's absolutely necessary. Call your lawmaker and tell them to support Opportunity Scholarships. This Nevada Policy Update is supported by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Visit NevadaPolicy.org for more information today.
It's time to put the fun back in political fundraising. That's why Active Republican Women of Las Vegas is hosting its 2019 Fashion Show and Luncheon, Sunday afternoon, April 14th from 1 till 4 at Spanish Trails Country Club, featuring 21st century retro design by Bunker Bradley Couture. Tickets are just $45. VIP sponsored tables are available for $500. To purchase your tickets to this mega fun event, go to ARWLV.com. That's ARWLV.com.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
By the way, this whole James Comey thing. Did you see James Comey yesterday? It was on with Christiane Amanpour. Let's go to cut eight. This was James Comey, who actually is supporting Bill Barr in this. Should I release the entire report? The House Judiciary Committee is getting ready to subpoena the report. They haven't done it yet, but they said they will. This was Christiane Amanpour with James Comey yesterday.
Of course, lock her up was a feature of the 2016 Trump campaign. Do you, in retrospect, wish that people like yourself, the head of the FBI, I mean, the people in charge of law and order, had shut down that language, that it was dangerous potentially, that it could have created violence, that it's kind of hate speech? Should that have been allowed?
That's not a role for government to play. The beauty of this country is people can say what they want, even if it's misleading and it's demagoguery. The people who should have shut it down were Republicans who understand the rule of law and the values that they claim to stand for. Shame on them, but it wasn't a role for government to play.
What a stupid question. Yeah. We should have shut down that kind of language, the lock her up or the lock her up T-shirts that were so much a part. Do you remember our debate watch parties over at Rhythm Kitchen? And by the way, we're planning more of those. Trust me. And the Democrats are going to, it's going to be a hoot. But we're already in the planning stages, folks. Coming up, we'll get a chance to visit with somebody who keeps their ear to the ground, Cassie Smedley. My old Kansas City buddy, she's with the Republican National Committee. What about Jerry Nadler and the possibility of a subpoena? We'll talk about that. What should be done with the Mueller report? We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association, we are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family.